Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM, heard in Western Suffolk on 96.9 FM. I'm Michael Mackey. 23 Long Island public high schools are among the nation's 1,000 best, including 16 in Nassau County, according to U.S. News & World Report's annual list, which is scheduled for release today. At the top of the list for Long Island, again, is Jericho High School, which climbed 5 spots up to 104. Jericho, with an enrollment of nearly 1,200 students, was Long Island's top finisher in 2022 and also is ranked the 13th best high school in New York State this year. Jericho High School students often take top honors in many national academic and science competitions. In June, Jericho had 15 co-valedictorians, each sharing the same unweighted GPA of 4.0. Robert Brodsky reports on Newsday.com that the 2023 Best High Schools in the Nation edition evaluated nearly 18,000 public high schools at the national, state, and local level. Along with Jericho, 15 other Nassau high schools ranked in the top 1,000. After Jericho, the next four in Nassau are Garden City High School, Great Neck South High School, Manhasset Secondary School, and Herricks High School. In Suffolk County, 7 schools made the top 1,000, and all but 2, Babylon Junior Senior High School and Earl Vanderbilt High School in Port Jefferson, made the list last year. The top 5 in Suffolk are Cold Spring Harbor High School, Half Hollow Hills High School, Harborfields High School, Half Hollow Hills High School West, and Babylon Junior Senior High School. A historic East Patchogue Long Island homestead will be preserved after a joint purchase by Suffolk County and the town of Brookhaven, officials for the municipality said. Nicholas Spengler reports on Newsday.com that the 11.5-acre Avery homestead, a vestige of vast holdings that once included most of what is now Patchogue and Blue Point, have belonged to the family for roughly 270 years, according to a monograph on the site by Cultural Heritage Group Preservation Long Island, which put the property on its list of endangered historic places in 2019. The Averys ran a plant nursery there for most of the 20th century. Barbara Avery, the last lifelong resident, raised miniature horses at the site before her 2017 death. It has beautiful plants, trees, the old well, the fountain, the old barn. There are so many beautiful aspects to it, so much character, said Suffolk County legislator Dominic Thorne, a Republican from Patchogue, who worked with County Executive Steve Ballone and Brookhaven Town Supervisor Ed Romaine to close the sale on the Avery Homestead for the town of Brookhaven and preserve the land. Environmentalists are asking for the public's help in eradicating invasive plants, including porcelainberry, bamboo, phragmites, Japanese knotwood, tree of heaven, oriental bittersweet, Japanese barberry, multiflora roses, Chinese wisteria, mugwort, burning bush, and English ivy. As reported on Newsday.com, the plants are tough and can outcompete natives for water, nutrients, and sunlight. Invasives also create ecological dead zones. Invasive plants support invasive insect species. The spotted lanternfly, which threatens local wineries and vegetable farms, loves the tree of heaven. According to the U.S. Forest Service, invasive plants have crept into 133 million acres of federally, state, privately owned land. State officials warned New York school districts yesterday that any policy they institute to block or even make difficult the enrollment of migrant kids could lead to lawsuits and fines. Craig McCarthy reports in the New York Post that the threat of legal action from New York State Attorney General Letitia James and State Education Commissioner Betty Rosa was triggered by their discovery of discriminatory practices in some districts, such as requiring a voter ID from parents registering their kids as schools across the state prepare for the new year and a flood of asylum-seeking children, they said. Quote, The Office of the Attorney General and State Education Department have recently learned that some districts employ enrollment policies that make it difficult or impossible for non-citizens, undocumented students, and people who rent their homes without a formal lease to register for school. The pair's letter released Monday reads, adding that several registration policies are of particular concern. The questionable practices, which also include requiring a student's residency to be more than 30 days old or providing proof of where they live on a regular basis, may violate constitutional and statutory protections, exposing school districts to lawsuits and liability, the state official said. The law is clear. Every New Yorker is entitled to a free public education, and anyone who lives in our state is a New Yorker, said A.G. James. The warning under state law that all kids between 5 and 21 in New York State, including any migrant or undocumented, are guaranteed to a public education. After a pandemic dip, lobbying in Albany has rebounded bigger than ever. The amount of money spent on lobbying New York State lawmakers hit an all-time high in 2022, $331 million, according to a report released yesterday by the New York State Ethics Commission. That marks a 13% increase over 2021 and easily surpassed any pre-pandemic totals, the commission said. It wasn't just total spending. Everything went up. The number of lobbyists, the number of clients paying lobbyists, advertising spending, and the number of lobbyist-related social events. The top issues included health care, the state budget, real estate and housing laws, economic development, and education. The competition for three downstate casino licenses also spurred about $6 million in lobbying spending. Yancey Roy reports on Newsday.com that the top spenders were many of the same interest groups that spend the most on lobbying in New York year in and year out. 1199 SEIU, the giant healthcare union, led all spending with $5.7 million. Members of Shelter Island's Water Advisory Committee and Comprehensive Plan Task Force will discuss water on Shelter Island, a comprehensive view, this Thursday, August 31st at 5 p.m. in the Shelter Island Library. All are welcome to attend. Meet Meg Larson and B.J. Ianfola, liaisons to the Water Advisory Committee and members of the Comprehensive Task Force. Hosted by the Water Advisory Committee and Comprehensive Plan Task Force, Planning Our Island's Future. That's Water on Shelter Island, a comprehensive view. It's this coming Thursday at 5 p.m. in the Shelter Island Library. All are welcome to attend. Once again, that's at the Shelter Island Library this coming Thursday at 5 p.m. New York City appears poised to allow Madison Square Garden to continue operating at its present location for another 5 years, following a key vote yesterday. Alfonso A. Castillo reports on Newsday.com that two City Council land use subcommittees voted Monday on the 5-year extension, which fell short of the Garden's hope for a permanent extension of its special permit, allowing it to hold events with more than 2,500 people at its current location on 7th Avenue between 31st and 33rd Streets on Manhattan's west side. But the extension was also a setback for New York City preservationists who have been pushing for the relocation of MSG so that a grand Penn Station could be reconstructed in its place. Ultimately, the council decided to further put off a long-term resolution to the dispute. At this time, the council cannot determine the long-term viability of an arena at this location, Councilman Eric Botcher said during a Manhattan hearing. Therefore, 5 years is an appropriate term for this special permit, end quote. The New York City Planning Commission had recommended a 10-year extension. The full city council could vote as early as September 14th on the permit extension, which could be granted on the condition that MSG come up with a transportation management plan to address concerns about how the arena's loading operation could conflict with the state's planned redevelopment of Penn Station and with pedestrian traffic. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority has said Madison Square Garden is not compatible with its planned redevelopment of the LIRR hub. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.